The following is a special presentation from the Montana Broadcasters Association, made possible in part by the Greater Montana Foundation. The Greater Montana Foundation, founded by Montana broadcasting pioneer Ed Craney, supports communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to all Montanans. And now, Election 2020, the race for governor. Here's your moderator, Ron Davis.
These extraordinary times we're experiencing throughout Montana. It's been difficult for the voters of Montana to get to know the candidates who would like to be the next governors for the state of Montana. The Montana Broadcasters and the Greater Montana Foundation working together with the different type of technologies. We're practicing social distancing with the folks involved in the debates hundreds of miles apart, so we make sure we cover the distance. Today we have a great opportunity to visit with the candidates who would like to be governor of the state of Montana. We start the debates today with the Democratic candidates for governor. First, Ms. Whitney Williams. She's a sixth-generation Montana businesswoman and daughter of former Congressman Pat Williams and former State Senate Majority Leader Carol Williams. Whitney's jobs experience include archivist, hotel, restaurant, employees union, women's protective union. She's been an aide to the Montana State Legislature for the Missoula delegation, a White House trip director for First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton, deputy campaign manager for O'Keefe Williams' gubernatorial campaign, a vice president of external relations for Casey Family Programs, founder and CEO of Williams Work, and also co-founder of Eastern Congo Initiative. Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney was elected in 2016 as Governor Steve Bullock's Lieutenant Governor. Mike Cooney served as Deputy Commissioner of the Montana Department of Labor, three times as Secretary of State, President of the Senate, and State Representative for his hometown of Butte. He has also served as Executive Director of Montana Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, Division Administrator of the Workforce Service Division at the Montana Department of Labor and Industry, Director of the Montana Historical Society, and Deputy Commissioner of the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. Cooney is a fourth-generation Montanan and was raised in Butte. His grandfather, Frank Henry Cooney, served as the state's ninth governor from 1933 to 1935. Welcome, Mr. Cooney. Now, a quick overview of the rules for our debate. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their initial answer. After that, remaining participants will receive 30 seconds for rebuttal, after which point the original candidate will have another 30 seconds for a final rebuttal. We will finish tonight's debates with a 90-second closing statement from each participant. The order for their responses are determined by a random draw earlier this week. Ms. Williams will have the first question from Taylor Tucker. So that means it's time to meet the panelists that will be asking questions of our candidates. Taylor Tucker is an award-winning anchor, reporter, and producer at KFBB in Great Falls, Montana. Before moving from Wisconsin to Montana in 2015, she worked as an intern at the Center for Investigative Journalism and other positions. She covers everyday issues for Montanans from KFBB. Cindy Kors is Assistant News Director at NBC Montana, a fifth-generation Montanan. She earlier spent most of her career in Spokane in a variety of positions with KXLY-TV and AM radio, garnering a number of awards. And Mike Dennison, the chief political reporter for the Montana Television Network, based in Helena. He has been covering politics full-time in Montana for 28 years with MTN and earlier as a news reporter. Please welcome our panelists for this afternoon's debates. And it's time to get underway with our first question. And Taylor Tucker will ask the first question of Ms. Whitney Williams.
Okay, thank you very much, Ron. Hello, Ms. Williams. Thank you for joining us today. How do you plan on jumpstarting the state's economy after the fallout of COVID-19?
Well, thank you, Taylor, very much. First, let me say that I am really honored and delighted I've been able to help create jobs in communities all around the world and help them rebuild after both natural and man-made disasters. And so I bring the same sense of urgency to rebuilding Montana's economy, and we're going to need it. So I focus on four areas first. I'd make sure the virus is under control. You cannot have a healthy economy if the folks aren't healthy. I am a highly data-driven person. I would do a deep dive assessment of what has worked well and what hasn't to prepare for a resurgence of the virus. And then I'd assemble an extraordinary and very diverse recovery team. both urban and rural communities would be represented, businesses, small and large, industry leaders, labor, healthcare workers, members of both political parties, and economic experts, alongside working folks. I would also make sure that I include men and women. And I bring expert help in from outside the state to help us build the economy of the future, building on the significant relationships I have built across my career.
Thank you, Whitney. And we'll turn to the rebuttal from Mr. Cooney.
Well, thanks for the question. And I just want to say that this is something that I've been working on throughout the time the virus has come to Montana. We have some very serious issues that we're going to have to address. But one thing I want to say is Montana is in a very strong position going into this. We have great reserves in the state. We see, we've been able to push our tax collection into July, which has left $250 million in the economy. So we're in much better shape than a lot of states. So, but we are going to have to really be careful. We need to understand there are a lot of people who are impacted. The state is going to have to watch its expenditures going into the next cycle. And we're going to have to make sure that we are doing everything we can to control spending.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, 30 seconds.
I'll just say again, I would be, absolutely delighted to be able to serve as governor and bring my considerable business experience and my relationships here at home and across the United States to bring to bear on solving problems and getting folks back to work. I'd
Thank
make
you.
Sure that we protect our great public lands.
Thank you, Whitney.
Centrally who we are and is going to get us through this crisis.
Thank you, Whitney. We go to Missoula now. We're standing by in Missoula at her desk. Cindy Kaur is asking our next question of Mike Cooney.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you, Mr. Cooney, for joining us here today. Let me ask, what would your priorities be, and how would you plan on accurately and appropriately tracking the $1.25 billion Montana is going to receive from the CARES Act?
Well, thanks for the question, and it's a great question, because just yesterday, our committee that we've put together to help us plan on doing how we're going to spend the CARES Act money, gave us a report, and we're looking forward to going through that and getting those dollars out just as soon as possible. I can tell you that we've got a great team put together that will be tracking those dollars, making sure that we're being very careful, that they're getting out to the people who need it the most. I mean, that's going to be key as we get through this recovery of COVID. There's no question about it. There are a lot of people who are hurting. There are a lot of small businesses and a lot of people out of work, small businesses that are just hanging on. We need to make sure that we're doing everything to get those dollars out on Main Street. And we're planning on doing that. And I can guarantee you, as we do with everything, we'll be very careful and we'll be able to track it and make sure that those dollars are being spent correctly. We don't know if we're going to get any more, but even if we don't, this is a big job for us. $1.25 billion is a lot of money, and we're going to make sure we do it correctly.
Ms. Williams.
Yeah, thank you for the question. You know, I would do a couple of key things. One is protecting one of our greatest assets in this state, Montana's kids and our future, and then working really hard again to get our economy and our folks back up on their feet. That $1.25 billion is a great start. I do hope Montana can expect more. And I would fight like heck to make sure that Montana gets everything it deserves.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Now we go to Helena. Standing by is Mike Dennison. Oh, I apologize. We go back to Mike Cooney for a 30-second rebuttal.
I have to say that, this is going to be a big task, and we're very fortunate that we've had business people and labor people involved in this discussion. I feel very confident Montana is going to be well positioned to use these dollars in the best possible way to make sure all Montanans get the biggest bang for the buck.
Thanks, Mike. I apologize for skipping you there. Let's go back to Mike Dennison and Helena, as he has a question for Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, thank you for joining us. And my question is about your earlier career, which was mentioned that you closely worked with Hillary Clinton, who's not exactly popular in Montana. Isn't that association going to be an albatross around your neck in the general election that Republicans will use effectively against you?
Thanks for the question, Mike. It was an extraordinary honor to work in the White House when I was in my 20s. An incredible learning experience, and any young person who can have an experience working for either party in a White House should take it with both hands. So I worked in the Clinton administration when we fixed our economy, leading to the longest peacetime economic expansion in U.S. history. In fact, over 23 million jobs were created. We brought children's health insurance to kids here in Montana and all across America, and we balanced the federal budget. Remember what that was like? We paid down the federal debt as well. So look, I come from Butte and a long line of women leaders, long line of union members who fought for their community. Of course, very proud of my own mom, the first female majority leader. And in my life, strong women have taught me to be bold, to fight for what you believe in, to do it with urgency. And when you get knocked down, you get back up.
Mr. Mike Cooney, 30 seconds.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, Whitney has had an interesting and wonderful career, and I certainly don't think we can take anything away from her. But I'm proud to have, you know, my relationships with Montanans. And I have the support of former Senator Max Baucus, who I had the pleasure of working with for a number of years. I have the pleasure of having the support of Governor Bullock, who I've worked with for several years. And I'm also very pleased to have the support of U.S. Senator John Tester, who I've worked with as a state senator and a good friend for many years. So those are the things that I think Montanans care about. And that's
Thank
what
you,
I'm
Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, after six generations, I got a whole lot of relationships here in Montana as well. So I'm very proud to have been endorsed by the extraordinary Denise Juneau, former Governor Brian Schweitzer, and hundreds of community leaders from Main Streets and rural communities and small towns all across our state. And those are the folks that are going to put us over the top in this primary.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Our next question will come from Taylor Tucker. She'll ask a question of Mr. Mike Cooney.
Hello, Mr. Cooney. Through the coronavirus pandemic, we've seen firsthand how important it is for our governor to have a strong relationship with leaders in D.C., especially when states across the country were scrambling for more testing supplies and PPE. So what would you do to strengthen that relationship?
Well, I would do what I've always done throughout my career in public service. I would be reaching out across the party lines to make sure that we have developed good relationships with our counterparts and other folks that we deal with on a regular basis. I think that is very, that is exactly the way that Governor Bullock has done it throughout the COVID situation. And it's the same way that I've done it throughout my career, whether it's been as Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, as a state representative and senator. You work with people. In Montana, you have to bring people together, people from both political sides of the aisle and other people in between. That's how the best decisions are made. And that's why I've always been that's why I've always taken that tact. In my positions that I've held. You just bring Montanans together, you're gonna get good results. And I think that's, as governor, that would be continued to be my approach. And it would be a reflection of the face of Montana, as I've always done.
Ms. Williams, your response.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been really proud to be a business leader for the last 18 years, working very closely with job creators and policymakers in both parties. Not only is it the right way to lead, to bring diverse voices together, regardless of political party, but I actually enjoy it. I like my Republican friends and independent friends, and I believe that better decision-making happens when more of us are at the table. And having had a career both inside and outside of Montana, I think it's going to be a real benefit to this state because I have relationships that I can bring to bear.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, final response?
Again, one of the things I've learned in public service is you get the best results when you bring people to the table. You know, you can bring your leadership, you can bring experience, but bringing people to the table, crossing party lines, is typically how you get things done. That's how we passed Medicaid expansion. That's how we got an infrastructure bill. That's how we funded public education. We need to continue doing it that way. And I'll do it as governor.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Our next question will be from Cindy Kors. She'll ask a question of Ms. Whitney Williams.
Hello, Ms. Williams. Thanks for joining us. You have touched several times on your business experience. Montana has a multi-billion dollar a year budget with thousands of in-state employees. Please explain to me what you think is most important when becoming a governor? Is it public or private sector experience?
Oh, well, it's a combination. And I'll say budget is a reflection of your values. So number one, creating a budget that reflects the values that Montanans have, I think is the most important thing that we can do, living within our means, which any businesswoman and man across the state, there were pre-COVID 115,000 of us, and I hope that we can, most of us can hang on. But it's important that we live within our means. It, you know, it was so important to Montanans that we wrote it into our constitution. And we expect a governor to be tough enough to not only just do what's right by Montanans, but negotiate and negotiating on the balanced budget, to play the long game and make sure we have enough money in the bank when disaster strikes, which it will again, and the going gets tough.
Mr. Cody, your response.
I have to tell you, I've had the pleasure of writing a budget on a couple occasions when I served as the finance chair in the state Senate. And now being lieutenant governor, we had to prepare budgets to take to the legislature. We have to be fiscally responsible. And my background, being both, working in government, working in understanding the workings of government and the legislature, really lends itself to being an effective leader and being an effective manager of state resources. I'm very proud of my record, and state's in great shape.
Thank you. Whitney Williams, final response?
Yeah, well, you know, I just think we're at a point in our history where it's time for a new generation of leadership, and I just don't agree that government experience is the only experience one can have with budgets. When I worked at Casey Family Programs, a $3.5 billion foundation, and served on their executive committee, we managed those budgets then, and I'll manage this one well now.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mike Dennison will ask our next question of Mr. Mike Cooney.
Mr. Cooney, welcome. Nice to see you. We've been talking about the state budget, and of course, next year it's quite possible we'll be facing a deficit. And you've talked about a lot of things you want to do, Medicaid expansion, public school funding, and there's questions about our tax structure, where there's enough money to pay for all the things that you want. I'm wondering, do you think that's a problem? And are there any tax reforms of our tax structure that you are going to be proposing or supporting?
Well, Mike, it's a great question. And I do think we're going to have to be very careful and mindful that our budget situation is likely going to change. But I can say we're in very good shape right now. But we know that a lot of what we're going to expect is going to come later into the next year. And so we need to be prepared for that. But yes, I do think there are some things that we can do with the tax structure. First of all, people want their taxes to be fair. They want them to be predictable, and they want them to be understandable. We have a long way to go to get to that point. First of all, when we have a minimum wage worker paying the same tax rate as somebody making $500,000, that's wrong. We need to change that. When we have the revise or repeal the capital gains tax, I think that would be something we should take a look at, because there's some unfairness in that. And we need to increase the earned income tax. And I think that's something that would help middle-class Montanans.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response to the question.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let me be clear. I do not support a sales tax. And it is not the time to raise taxes on working families, like the pandemic and hard times for workers and businesses alike. Taxation needs to be fair. We cannot shift burden onto homeowners, workers, small businesses, or our seniors on fixed income. And I believe it's time to support the legalization of having small amounts of marijuana for recreational use. State figures show that it would raise nearly $100 million per biennium, and that'll go a long way to shoring up our budget.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, final response?
Well, let me just say, first of all, I think the marijuana initiative that I've read that is out there wouldn't raise $100 million or even close to it until about 5-6 years from the time it's implemented. So I don't think we can start spending that money now. But I can tell you right now that we are going to have to really be careful. We're going to have to manage the budget carefully. But we are in good shape, and we are in good position to have this discussion about our taxes and transitioning from a 100-year-old program to something to today's economy.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Our next question will come from Taylor Tucker, and she will ask that question of Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, Republicans often criticize Montana Democrats for being aligned with a national party that's more liberal than most ordinary Montanans. Can you outline a specific policy supported by national Democrats that you oppose?
I suppose the Green New Deal. You know, I think that we need to focus on clean, renewable energy, and we need to move with urgency to do it. I think it's well past time. Montana has extraordinary potential, and I think we're not meeting it. So that's one of the things that I think that's an idea and an issue in Congress that, you know, I think what Montanans support are Made in Montana plans that are going to tackle climate change and drive us into a clean energy future. I mean, Montana workers first fueled the Industrial Revolution, of course, by supplying copper from my family's hometown of Butte, and then they powered the Northwest with energy from Colstrip and water that runs through our dams. Montana workers can and must be at the forefront of changing our economy, our energy economy, and I will fight for that, and I will support traditional and non-traditional sources of energy as our economy and energy future changes and transitions.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. We go to Mr. Cooney now with his response to the question.
Well, let me just say that, there's a lot that happens on the national level that I don't agree with. And I know that one size doesn't fit all, which sometimes we see coming out of the federal government and sometimes even out of our political parties. I'm going to always be focused on what's right for Montana first. And I think that, we've seen governors in Montana continue to always stand up for Montanans and put politics and a lot of times national politics aside. But when we have to be, participating and we have to be working with our national partners, we need to do that when it's in our best interest.
Mr. Cooney. Let's go back to Ms. Williams for the final response.
Yeah, I'll just say I am really honored that Buzz Matlin, my lieutenant governor running mate, comes from Culbertson, Montana, far eastern Montana, over in Roosevelt County. And, I do think sometimes that our Democrats have left out rural communities and some of our smaller towns, including agriculture communities. I think that's a mistake, and I'm not going to do that.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. We return to Cindy Kors now. She asks the next question of Mr. Mike Cooney.
Thank you. Mr. Cooney, in about 3 weeks, I'm going to write a property tax check for a small business that's roughly 35% of its net income. How can this state solve the problem of what, while it might not be considered nationally to be a high property tax, but which is actually crippling to many businesses and homeowners?
Well, again, as I said earlier, one of the issues that we have to do is we need to take a look at our tax code right now, because it's based on a 100-year-old economy that is different than what we're experiencing today. We need to have those discussions. One of the things that I've said would probably be a good thing and a smart thing to consider is a local option tax. There's been some discussion. Now, I'll make it very clear. I don't support a general sales tax, never have, never will. But a local option tax where people can design a program, take it to the people for a vote, and if they approve it, then we should take a look at it. We need to look at it before I'd say I'd sign it, but I think it's certainly something that could offer local communities a chance to address their property tax issue.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Whitney Williams, your response to the question.
Yeah, thank you. Well, our property taxes are just too high. So I think we can look at a number of things. One, I think we need to look at other states like Hawaii, where there are a whole bunch of wealthy out-of-staters, not unlike Montana, with second, third, and fourth homes. And they give a generous tax credit to Hawaiian residents to make sure their residents can stay there. And then back to legalizing up to 1 ounce of marijuana, that is going to provide, according to the state's budget director, up to $100 million per biennium in the future. And I think it's time to get on with that, which would give relief for property taxes.
Thank you, Whitney. And final response from Mr. Cooney.
Well, again, we need to be mindful, because I know there are a lot of communities are very worried about this. There are a lot of people that are very concerned about it. We don't want to be taxing people out of their homes. So it has to be a priority. We have to figure this out. And, again, bringing people from Montana to the table, we can do it.
We go to Helena for Mike Dennison, as he'll ask our next question of Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, you come out against the Black Butte Copper Mine north of why Silver Springs under any circumstances. So even if a mining company follows state environmental laws, you're saying it should sometimes still be disallowed?
Yeah, what I'm saying, Mike, is that the Smith River is an extraordinarily precious resource to Montanans, and I do believe that that's a mine that should not be built. Now, what I also believe is that we need to follow the law, and if they follow the law, then they can do it. That doesn't, however, stop me from believing that there are some places in our state that are too precious, including, by the way, the Smith River and places like the Blackfoot. You know, Mike's voted on the land board some 20 plus years ago for a permit on the Blackfoot mine to further a permit. I would have made a different choice, and Mike hasn't been consistent on that issue. And that concerns me a great deal. It was a cyanide mine that ended up getting stopped by the voters, but it wasn't Mike who stopped it. So I do believe this requires leadership. I do believe that we need to do everything we can to protect precious resources, and I would do that.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, your rebuttal.
Well, first of all, let me address the Blackfoot issue, because I find that very interesting, because Ms. Williams is just absolutely incorrect. I didn't vote to permit anything. The land board doesn't vote on permits. What we did is we voted to allow a company to keep a lease and to continue to bring money into the school trust to fund public education as they were working on their permit through the regular agencies that do that. So you're wrong. I got to tell you that. Secondly, on the Smith River, we all love the Smith River, and we want to make sure that that mine, if it goes forward, is complying with all of the rules and regulations. As governor, I'm going to really be watching that carefully if it moves forward.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Whitney, final response?
Well, Mike, I'm not wrong about it. The lease furthered that mine. You could have stopped it. You could have voted to say, no, we're not going to give them a lease to further the mine, and you didn't. The vote, you know, in the end, it was stopped, but it wasn't you that stopped it. There was a Clean Water Initiative, Mike, that the voters also did not pass a few years ago, but it did not pass because there was a lack of leadership. I haven't been able to find out anywhere that you supported that work, that so many people in the conservation community were incredibly interested in getting past. And again, I think that's a lack of leadership, and I would take a different approach.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. We are enjoying the debate for governor as we highlight the Democratic candidates for governor of Montana. And we'll continue with Taylor Tucker with a question to Mike Cooney.
Mr. Cooney, Democrats often talk about protecting public lands, but they're not always clear what they mean by protect. So assuming you agree with the idea of protecting public lands, what does that mean to you, and how will you protect our public lands?
What that means to me is that public lands are incredibly important to the people of Montana, and any attempt to take our public lands out of public hands is just not going to happen. And we know there are people out there who don't believe in this. They look at our public lands as a way of just as a real cash box. It means I don't support transferring federal lands to the state, because that would just be an excuse to sell them off, because we couldn't manage that many acres. It also means properly managing what we have to open up and extend opportunities for Montanans to have access to hunt, fish, and enjoy our great outdoors. That's what it means about public lands. And I can tell you, ever since I've been in public service, public lands has been a key point. And I've been a great promoter, and I'll continue to do it as governor. And that's what the people can count on.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response to the question.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, you know, it starts with protecting places like the Smith. You know, as sixth generation Montanan, I certainly know how critically important public lands are. They're in my blood and my bones. My Uncle Bobby first let me shoot a gun at the Big Hole, and my Uncle Ricky took me fishing at Georgetown as a little girl. Our outdoor economy creates 70,000 jobs and $7 billion in economic spending, and public lands are at the center of that. So I will stop folks like the Trump administration as they try to transfer those lands back to the states, which is only about selling them off to the highest bidder.
Thank you for your response. Mr. Cooney, your rebuttal.
I think absolutely the economy of our outdoor recreation is what's going to be a big major boost to Montana as we go through this COVID thing. We know people want to come to Montana. They want to enjoy it. It's an economic driver as well for our businesses to attract people to their as employees and keeping their employees. So it's not just Montanans out there enjoying it as much as they do. I support that, but it's also an economic driver. And well, that's why we need to fight for our public lands and protect them.
Our next question will come from Cindy Kors in Missoula to Whitney Williams.
Thank you, Ron. Ms. Williams, you want to be the governor of Montana, and yet according to the Montana Secretary of State records, you've cast more votes out of the state than you have inside of Montana. Is it a liability to you to have that, and how do you balance that with wanting to hold the state's highest office?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm in love with my home state. I'm a sixth generation Montanan, and I have spent most of my life here. I'm also a very dedicated voter. And so, yeah, when I lived in other places, I voted where I lived. I will tell you that I expect to be running against a billionaire from New Jersey. And I think what Montanans value are Montana values, people who stand up for them and who will fight for them and fight for working people all across this state.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney.
Well, I'm proud to be a longtime Montanan. I grew up here, and I've always been a Montanan. I've always voted in Montana, and I just think that gives me a background with my experience, my being in Montana, my raising family in Montana. That's why it prepares me well to be a governor, and I'm delighted that I have that in my background, and I don't have to explain myself.
Ms. Williams, follow up?
No, thank you. I mean, I think it's just to say that, I think what Montanans expect, again, is someone who represents their values, someone who's tough enough, someone who will stand up and fight every day to make sure that we keep our Montana, Montana. Folks are looking for someone with leadership and executive experience to be our next governor, and that's me.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Mike Dennison will ask the next question of Mike Cooney.
Mr. Cooney, in recent elections, Democrats in Montana routinely lose, often by big margins, among rural voters in rural areas of the state. If you're the Democratic nominee, well, what do you have to offer rural voters that would earn their votes and close that gap?
Great question, Mike. What I have to offer rural voters is the fact that I've been there. I've been there as Secretary of State. I've been there as a state legislator. And I've also been there a lot as Lieutenant Governor, working with rural communities to talk to them about what they hope to accomplish, where they want to see their communities go as they see their economies transitioning. I'm not there to tell them what to do. I'm there to listen, and I'm there to find out ways that we can partner with them so that they can be successful at this. I think we need to do a better job as Democrats talking to the rural communities. We need to be out there talking to agriculture. We need to be talking about how we can help them fix the markets so that they can get good money for their products and how we can increase our marketing of Montana goods locally. And there are a lot of things through the agriculture programs we have, through our economic development programs, that would actually help us work with rural communities. I've done it. I can give all sorts of examples of some great things that we've been able to do working with them. But it's not us pushing it. It's us working with them. That's what they want to be heard, and they want to have a partner.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Whitney Williams, your response to the question.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll show you this. That right there is a bag of Buzz barley. My running mate, Buzz Matlin, is a third generation farmer. He grows barley and durum wheat and sugar beets on the Missouri River over in the Fort Peck Reservation. And Buzz would be leading on agriculture. He would be helping us in all the ways on things that are important to rural Montana. He would be helping us, for example, make sure our food supply chains are stable and steady and that made in Montana products are promoted by a Montana farmer here
Thank
at home
much.
Around the globe.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Your final response to the question.
Rural Montana is very important. As governor, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be working with them. Both Casey Schreiner and I will be the ones working with rural Montana. I'm not going to ask one person to do it on their own. This is going to be a team effort because rural Montana and our agricultural economy is too important not to do it that way.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. We go to Great Falls now, where Taylor Tucker will pose the next question to Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, do you support any further restrictions on gun control in Montana?
I do not. Here's what I support. I am a big believer in the Second Amendment. I'm from a family of gun owners, just like the rest of Montanans. What I agree with is that Montanans believe that common sense gun safety measures need to exist. So we're responsible gun owners. We use our guns for protection, for recreational shooting, for hunting. And I agree with Montanans that we have to have common sense gun safety. And I support background checks on all public gun sales and purchases at gun shows.
Mr. Cooney, your response to the question.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Second Amendment. I have two boys who love to get out and hunt and fish. And I tell you what, they own a lot of guns and they use them properly. I think Montanans expect people to be responsible. I would support universal background checks. I would also support the red flag laws, making sure that we could keep guns out of the hands of people who want to harm themselves or harm other people. We need the laws to do that, but we need to make sure that we respect people's rights to bear arms in this state.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your final follow-up?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I'm glad you brought up mental health because I think it is a crisis in this state, and your administration cut $50 million in the middle of a mental health crisis from mental health services, which we have to reinstate. We have got to take care of folks. Pre-COVID, we had mental health crises. Can we imagine what it's gonna be like as we come out of this? It's a priority for me. It'll be a priority in my administration, and I would make sure that we do everything we can to ensure that folks who need the help can get it.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Our next question will come from Cindy Kors to Mr. Mike Cooney.
So, Mr. Cooney, I'm a fifth-generation Montanan, and I worry my kids are not going to be able to afford their own homes because I barely can afford mine. So, as governor, how do you intend to really address the issue of skyrocketing property prices balanced against wages that aren't exactly skyrocketing?
Well, I think there's other issues as well. I mean, we have a housing problem in Montana. No matter what community you visit, they'll always tell you that housing is a real challenge, and affordable housing is one of them. Again, as I've mentioned earlier, I think there are some, we need to examine our tax structure to make sure that we're not taxing people out of their homes and give local communities the tools that they may need. And I think we can make some real headway there. But we also have to look at how we can produce more affordable housing in this state. And I think there's a number of ways we can do it. We can start looking at the Opportunity Zone law that we have in place right now and see how we can get investors in. And I also think we should look at a housing trust, setting something up in the administration for that as well. And I think those are a couple steps that could help address the housing needs in this state.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, we are facing a housing shortage and crisis, and whether you're a longtime Montanan or just moving in, higher property taxes are hurting all of Montana's families. Renting, it's hard to find affordable homes. And frankly, while we welcome wealthy out-of-staters for coming in to Montana, they are driving up the cost of housing and hurting working families, and they should be paying a little bit more. I also believe we need a statewide tax credit for affordable housing, and I think it's well past time that we get some of these things done. This is not a new issue. This has been an issue for a while.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
How much longer do you need to help solve some of these problems? This is a crisis. It's been a crisis, and it's been a crisis since you've been Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cody, your rebuttal.
You know, it's so easy to blame other people for these things, Whitney. And I know that, you know, it's easy to do. Frankly, I think it's a bad thing when Democrats are beating up on other Democrats, because what you're really saying is that the Democrats and our governor, Steve Bullock, have failed the people of Montana. And I just don't think that is a good way to proceed in this election, especially in this Democratic primary.
I have a follow-up from Cindy Kors on the question.
So the one thing I don't hear either one of you addressing in this is wages. We can do as much as we want with tax. How do we bring up wages in this state?
Mr. Cooney?
Well, we bring up wages by making sure that our young people and those people who are in the workforce are continuing to get the training that they need to answer the jobs that are out there. Before COVID, the biggest problem employers talked to me about was the fact that they couldn't find enough people to do the jobs that were qualified to do the jobs. So we need to make sure we're making proper investment in our education. We need to make sure we have opportunities such as apprenticeship and certification programs. And we need to make sure we have avenues for people to move up in the job system so that they can improve their lots in life and get more, and earn better wages to support
their families. Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your 30-second response.
Yeah, well, Cindy, thank you for asking that again. We need to raise the minimum wage, for one thing. We should be at $12 an hour. I would support that. And we also need to close the gender pay gap. Women in this state make 73 cents on what a man makes. That's not right. Montanans agree with that. We got to change it. And so both of those things will be priorities in my administration.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Our next question comes from the capital city of Mike Dennison, asking a question of Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, you talked earlier about your support for legalized marijuana. I'd like to ask you about another drug, methamphetamine, which is, as you know, causing a lot of problems in the state. Do you think it's reaching a crisis level in the state? And if so, if you're governor, what would you do about it?
Yeah, Mike, I do. Thank you for asking about that. One, I think we need to do a better job of treatment. I think we need to do a better job of counseling. And certainly, you know, increasing incarceration has been tried and failed. And so I think we need to take a look at that. Medicaid expansion, which was obviously centrally important, and I'm so proud that that got done, certainly needs to continue again and increase access to care, both for rural communities and urban ones. Evidence-based treatment, I think we need to support. But the crime across the state as it relates to opioids, especially for friends in, you know, Billings and many in Indian Country and elsewhere, is a real problem. I do believe it's a crisis. And yes, we need to do more.
Mr. Cooney, 30-second response.
Well, the key, I think, really is Medicaid expansion, because Medicaid expansion gives people the ability to seek treatment, which many people have not had that ability. But we also need to make sure that we have a workforce out there that can provide that treatment. And until we get to that point, we need to make sure that our telemedicine is available so we can reach every corner of this state. We know we have some challenges with that, with broadband, but those are issues that we can talk about and find ways of solving those problems. But behavioral health is a huge issue, and all of this really is wrapped around the question of methamphetamine.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response to Mr. Cooney.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would just go back to, you know, mental health. I mean, it is centrally important. It wasn't a key priority for Mike in that last budget negotiation, when both Mike and Casey, by the way, his running mate, were involved with those negotiations. And, you know, leadership is about bringing people along. And in this case, if we don't have the resources to be able to support folks in communities like Livingston that shut down their mental health facility, or 8,000 people in Billings don't have access to care because of it, that's going to drive up the problems. We know that. It's cheaper to get in front of it.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
On the back end.
We go on to our next question from Taylor Tucker to Mike Cooney.
Mr. Cooney, what would you do differently from Governor Bullock in response to COVID-19?
Well, I have to say that I think I've been very proud of the governor. And when you look at Montana's numbers, I mean, we have one of the lowest rates of cases. We have one of the lowest rates of hospitalizations, if not the lowest in the country. And we have one of the lowest rates of deaths, although we have 16 too many. So I think that the governor and I, frankly, have handled this COVID issue, I think, very, very well, trying to balance the health of Montanans, which is first and foremost, and to make sure that we're looking at keeping our eye on the economic picture in Montana. Now, I know that there's going to be some talk about opening the public schools. The governor didn't open up public schools. The governor turned it back, as the Constitution expects us to allow local school districts to open them up if they chose, because that's a local local decision. As last I heard, I don't think any schools have been opened up. And I think, again, trusting people locally is a good way, especially when the Constitution tells you to do it that way.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response to the question.
Yeah, well, I do have great respect for how Steve has handled the pandemic. It certainly saved lives. You can look at the data from states around us and know that. And the state was right to shut down the schools statewide in March. But I do believe it was the wrong call for our kids and for communities to allow them to reopen in May. Schools aren't built for social distancing. Kids aren't built for social distancing. And I'll just say, I'm a small business owner. I understand how hard this lockdown has been, but the grit and determination that it takes to succeed as a small business owner in Montana is immense.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Thank you very much. Mr. Cooney, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
Let me just make it very clear. I respect the Constitution and I respect the laws. Governors aren't kings and queens. They don't just get to pick and choose. You have to follow the rules. That's what we have done in that decision. And I think that's what Montanans expect from their elected officials.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Our next question will come from Cindy Kors and will be directed to Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, thank you. Your platform calls for quality education for all, higher, increased broadband speeds. And in honesty, I haven't heard you say you want to cut anything. So do tell me, in a budget that probably will hit a deficit, how do you intend to accomplish that for public education?
Yeah, well, a couple of things, Cindy. Thank you for that. I mean, again, I'm a businesswoman. I know how to balance budgets. I know how to balance books. I know how to question every single expense, and I know how to make things more efficient. So yes, we are for pre-K. We think it's well past time that we get our little learners in public pre-K. We haven't gotten that done. It's time to get it done. There are opportunities for us to find efficiencies by questioning expenses and then doing things like this marijuana initiative, which is a significant source of revenue for the state. I believe we can do all of these things by treating our budget, looking at our budgets with a finer tooth comb than I believe we have, and finding efficiencies across state government, which I am confident we can do.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, your response.
Well, we can't start spending the marijuana money because, number one, it hasn't passed. We shouldn't be, you know, you can't spend a promise. Plus, we have to wait 6 years before we got enough revenue where we could do anything. The other thing is that initiative basically puts the money it raises into certain buckets already. So, again, it is not a good plan to start spending that money. So I just think that we are going to have to be watching our budgets very carefully, but we can't take our eye off the ball of what's important to us. Pre-K is incredibly important. We're one of a few states in the nation that doesn't offer it. We know it works for our kids. We have to figure out a way to do it. Governor Bullock and I had a plan and paying for it 2 years ago.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney.
It's hard to do it again.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response.
Yeah, you know, I think Montanans don't want people in government telling them something can't be done. I think I am an impatient optimist. I am someone who believes anything is possible. A long game of leadership is what's important here. So saying that we shouldn't do it because it can't be done for a couple of years doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. And I will also say that back to our wealthy out-of-stater friends who are coming here to visit, they need to pay their fair share. They should be paying a little bit more.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Mike Dennison as he asks a question of Mr. Mike Cooney.
Mr. Cooney, you've put out a plan to attack the cost of the high cost of prescription drugs, but can the state really do anything on prescription drug prices? Isn't that a federal issue?
Great question, Mike. And what the reason I came out with that plan is because the federal government came out with a proposal that said, let's work with states so that they can figure out ways and put together model plans to help people legally and safely import drugs from Canada. We've known for years that you can drive up to Canada and you can get drugs very, very cheaply. And I can tell you right now, a small bottle of insulin in Montana costs about $270 to $290. In Canada, it'll cost about $29. So my plan is to immediately upon getting into office, start working on this plan and allow Montanans to have access to hopefully cheaper prescription drugs coming from Canada. At the same time, we can look at other things such as capping the cost of medications as some other states have done. But yes, we need to address this and we need to address it now. And there will be a vehicle to allow us to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, your response?
Yeah, thank you. Well, look, I believe it's fundamentally, it's time for Montana to stand up for itself. and tackle one of the most persistent challenges we've ever faced. Remember when Brian Schweitzer started those bus trips 20 years ago? A vial of insulin was $20. As Mike says, it's now $275 or $300. It's unacceptable that Montanans, 40% of Montanans pre-COVID, were choosing between paying for a medication and filling a prescription. I will work to cap insulin prices. I will work on reimportation. And frankly, if we got to take pharma to court, we will. And Gianforte,
thank you,
is in the pocket of big pharma.
And thank you, Ms. Williams.
Montanans.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Follow-up?
Healthcare is one of the biggest issues, again, when you're out there talking to people, and this is even during the COVID crisis, this is, we keep hearing it. So state government has to be looking at ways of making, you know, healthcare more affordable, more accessible, and making sure prescription drugs come down. If we walk away from the table, we're not doing a good service to the people of Montana. Our administration will be in the fight, and we'll be making sure Montanans are heard.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Our next question will come from Taylor Tucker. She'll ask a question of Ms. Whitney Williams.
Ms. Williams, you're both supporters of Medicaid expansion, but it's going to continue to take a big part and perhaps a growing part of the state budget. So where do we scale back to account for this?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, imagine the scenario Montana would be in right now if 10% of us didn't have access to healthcare. So we have got to continue Medicaid expansion. You know, it sunsets in 2025, and I think we need to start right now to make sure that no one's healthcare gets taken away. And I'll ask Department of Public Health and Human Services and Department of Labor to share what's working and to share what challenges, what changes maybe need to be made for the 2025 session. Mike and I agree on healthcare and Medicaid expansion. You know who doesn't agree? Greg Gianforte. He's voted countless times to overturn the Affordable Care Act, which is what enabled Medicaid expansion. And I will not shy away from exposing his terrible track record for Montana. I can take him on and I can beat him.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, your response to the question.
You know, it's a question that basically has to be answered this way. We can't afford not to have Medicaid expansion. It not only provides health care to almost 100,000 Montanans who otherwise wouldn't have it. And if they didn't have it, they'd be getting uncompensated care, which would cost us tremendously. But more importantly, what Medicaid expansion has done, it has saved our rural health care structure that we have. Just think what COVID would look like if we didn't have that rural structure in place that, frankly, Medicaid expansion has allowed. Other states have lost their rural health system.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Thank you, Mr. Cooney. A final 30-second response from Whitney Williams.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I believe that sunset, of course, is 2025, and I think we should take a look in this next legislative session and see what we can do to potentially accelerate that process. What I think we need to do is make sure that we don't have a sunset and that we do everything we can to ensure that Montanans do not have to worry about whether or not they're going to have a health care.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Our final question for today's debate will come from Cindy Kors, and she'll ask it of Mr. Mike Cooney.
Thank you. What makes you the best Democratic candidate to take on a Republican in a state that voted for President Trump? And secondly, just because I want to know, I hear every candidate talk about Montana values. What are Montana values?
Well, Montana values, first let me answer that. Montana values are those things that make us Montanans, whether it's our public land, our appreciation of the great outdoors, the ability to get out and enjoy everything we have right here, to live free. And I just think that those are very important. And, you know, when I travel around the country before COVID, you know, people used to say, you're from Montana. Oh, I just love Montana. Or that's on my bucket list. We're lucky. We also need to make sure that we leave the Montana that was given to us in better shape so we can pass it on to future generations. That's what I think Montana values are. Now, how am I best suited to win? Because I've already been on a team that has beaten Greg Gianforte. We know how to do it. We know that we talk the issues. There are great differences between our, you know, how I see things in this state and where he sees things. And we're just going to get out. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to let Montanans be the judge. And I think Montanans are going to respond very, very, they're going to be pretty happy with the way they respond. And I'm going to be the
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Williams, 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, quickly, I think Montana values to me are also leadership and working together. You know, you learn something when you are not in Montana, about that wave that we all do from behind the wheel or pulling one another out of a ditch or helping a neighbor build a barn. Those are the Montana values that I think we want to protect. I am a businesswoman. I am a fighter. I am someone who can go toe-to-toe with Greg Gianforte in business. I can go toe-to-toe with him on running an effective campaign and also raising the resources that we're going to need to defeat him, because I think he is a threat to those Montana values.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Cooney, your final response to the question.
Well, I'm just proud that my children all live in Montana. They all work here, and they want to invest in this state for future generations. That's the way we should live in Montana. That's what we should be prepared to do to make sure that we give future generations that opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. That concludes the debate as we go to our final statements from the candidates. Ms. Whitney Williams, please tell Montanans why you should be the next governor of Montana.
Well, thank you so much. Every election has one thing in common. Elections are always about the future, new ideas that shape it, and a vision to create real solutions. I'm not a career politician. I haven't spent nearly 40 years in government. I'm a businesswoman who's helped folks around the world recover from crisis. I am the only Democrat from governor who's created jobs and helped communities rebuild after disaster strikes. And I'm the Democrat who can and will beat Greg Gianforte in November. I respect Mike's service, but Mike says that only he knows how to run government. And that's like saying, we've always done it this way. Mike's decisions concern me too. Decades ago, that land board vote to extend the lease on a cyanide gold mine on the headwaters of the Blackfoot. Now, the issued permit for the copper mine near our beloved Smith River. I support the legalization of recreational marijuana. Mike doesn't. Mike's administration cut $50 million in mental health services during a crisis, and I wouldn't have. The challenges ahead are unlike any we've seen in our lifetime. We don't need someone whose experience is inside government. Getting folks working again and helping businesses rebuild takes energy, new ideas, and a different kind of experience. That's why I'm running for governor. I'm Whitney Williams, a sixth generation Montanan and a proud Democrat, and I'm asking for your vote. In this election, voters have a clear choice. Steer to the future or anchor to the past. I believe in our tomorrows, and I know you do too. I hope
you'll
join us at whitneyformontana.com.
Thank you, Whitney. Mike Cooney, your final statement.
Well, first of all, Whitney, I just need to say I've never said I did not support the marijuana initiative. I have actually come out and talked about why I think we need a Montana plan. But let me just say I've spent my life fighting for the people of Montana, from the floor of the Montana House to the Senate to the halls of the Capitol. You know, the first rule of Montana politics, of governing and being a real leader, is showing up. And I'm the only candidate for governor who has shown up for the big fights Democrats have fought year after year. Serving the people of Montana, I've fought for our healthcare, our public lands, public education, women's rights to choose, the workers' rights, LGBTQ rights. Now my opponent has been attacking my record of public service. But I'll put my record of fighting and winning for the people of Montana up against any candidate for governor, Democrat or Republican. Because there's only one candidate for governor who wasn't here when we passed Medicaid expansion and secured health care for 1 in 10 Montanans. Who wasn't here when Governor Bullock and I rallied with thousands of Montanans at the state capitol in support of public lands. Who wasn't here when Democrats fought against Republicans who wanted to decimate critical services for Montanans. And there's only one candidate for governor who wasn't here when Democrats fought for marriage equality, fought for equal pay, and fought back against attacks on women's rights, workers' rights, and voting rights. So I can just tell you right now, the candidate missing from these fights, missing from Montana, is my opponent, Whitney Williams.
Casey, thank you very much.
We're going to fight for Montanans. We'll show up because they
know. Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Thank you, Mr. Cooney. And thank you, Montanans, for joining us.